A teacher reads a white privileged kids book. Two colleges in the U.S. decide that they are going to teach abolish the police courses. And the Freedom Phone appears to be a bit of a ripoff. I'm William Hall, and this is The William Hall Show. The William Hall Show is brought to you by the Second Amendment Jerky Company. That's what I have right here. It is absolutely delicious. If you are a fan of beef jerky, I promise that you will absolutely love this product. And the mission statement behind it is very simple. For every bag of beef jerky that you buy, a portion of that is donated to a reputable organization that supports American gun owners. It's as simple as that. Delicious jerky going to a great cost. It's a lot better, by the way, than giving your money to a grocery store or a gas station or some other place like that. And we know that these gun advocacy groups can use as much support as possible. So this is a great product that helps get it out there. And the thing is, too, with all of this being said, the best part of this is that it ships for absolutely free. So I promise that you will enjoy this product. It not only helps to support the Second Amendment, but it also supports the William Hall Show as well. It helps me to do what I love doing here as well. So with all of that being said, remember to go to 2ajerky.com to support the Second. Again, that's 2ajerky.com to support the Second. All right, so welcome back to the show. There have been several instances over the past few years where we have seen different kids' toys go woke, whether it was the different types of Barbies and other things like that, even Mr. Potato Head as well. There's been several, basically. Well, now we actually have a person that has gone to Project Veritas to basically expose Hasbro, which is one of the biggest toy manufacturers out there, and expose them for what they're doing and telling them that they're actually showing and teaching CRT to their employees and just about everything else.
My name is David Johnson. I'm a packaging engineer for Hasbro. They are attempting to covertly push CRT, critical race theory, through branding and messaging through their products. I decided to come to Project Veritas because I opposed the indoctrination of children that they wanted to push.
Explain what we're looking at here.
This is the program developed by the Conscious Kid, which is working with Hasbro to teach children about racial bias at an early age.
Is this a mandatory all-hands training?
Yes, it was mandatory for me.
Children as young as 2 are already using race to reason about people's behaviors.
2-year-old racists is just an absurd concept.
By 3 to 6 months, babies are beginning to notice and already express preference by race. By age 3, children are already starting to apply stereotypes. They also may use racist language intentionally at this age.
I think this is where the mask starts to slip a little bit.
Is this what people are talking about regarding critical race theory?
This is critical race theory in practice. They explain that the white children in particular have the particular bias against black people. It's a mainstream ideology now, and it's in a lot of our institutions. People that I've spoken to about these issues, and I'm trying to explain to them why teaching people to segregate based on race or by gender or by any other inherent characteristic is wrong. If you want your children to be looking at people based on their race, then you are opposing Dr. Martin Luther King's dream. So I think that's progress in the truest sense, that we should not be judging each other by the color of our skin, but rather by the content of our character and actions. If the next generation of children is allowed to be indoctrinated to believing that racial segregation is a good thing, I don't think it will lead our country to anywhere good. Racism exists. I think we'd be fools to say that there is no racism in the world, but teaching children to judge others based upon race is not going to make a world with less racism. It's going to make a world with more of it. This isn't something I wanted to do. This is something I felt I had to do. This is a hill worth dying on. If I can make one person just step away from this ideology and say, you know what, maybe that's not the way, it's not the path towards a better future, then I think it's worth it.
So every time that I hear these people talk about CRT, every time this comes up, the first thing that comes to my mind is I'm hoping that they don't have kids. I'm assuming they don't, because a lot of the stuff that they're talking about is just ridiculous. I don't understand how real parents can really feel this way when they're talking about children so young as well. But the other thing, too, to take away from this video, if you aren't able to see this, is that the person that's talking there, the actual whistleblower, is a black guy. He's a guy that is black and goes against what the left has been telling everybody. If you're on Twitter, you'll hear them say that the only people that oppose CRT are these white parents and these white people. Of course, they hate it, blah, blah, blah. But you don't see them actually trying to acknowledge any of the black people that have come out against it. I've showed several clips, by the way, of black people that have opposed CRT as well in other situations with schools. But this is a different situation because Hasbro is a massive toy company. They've been around for a very long time. And this is the stuff that they're telling their employees. And it's crazy to me that this is happening right now. It really is, because this isn't just something that's being put into the toys. It's being taught to the employees as well. And that's absolutely unacceptable. We shouldn't accept any of that in any capacity whatsoever when we're looking at this. What they're saying there is just absolutely insane. The thing is that they can be made to be racist by teaching CRT. It's something that I've said about children for a very long time. Kids are not inherently racist, but the way that you're hearing them talk about them, like, oh, by the time they're this age, they were able to basically say this and recognize that, and they're thinking this person's racist. I mean, that's pretty asinine. This shouldn't be acceptable. These are children here that we're talking about. But the thing is that if you wanted to really get rid of racism, it's very simple. It's very simple, and I've said this a long time ago. Stop talking about it. Stop talking about racism if you want to get rid of racism. But when you're dealing with kids this young, when you're taking them from that age and you're saying, pay attention to these things. Notice how that person's black. Notice how that person's Hispanic or whatever, or white. Notice and look and notice these differences. Look, kids will oftentimes notice differences on their own. They don't really need anybody to necessarily tell them about that. They'll just notice the difference, like, hey, that person's a different color, or maybe that's a girl and I'm a boy or something like that. But they're not thinking of it in any bad or positive way. It's just they may ask because they're just asking about it. But what they're trying to do, what the left is trying to do, is to stick on the identity politics with everything. They're trying to put this kind of responsibility, if you will, on these kids so early on that have no business to be worried about what skin color people are and any of that. Nobody really does, but that's what they're trying to do with them. And like I said, the best opposition, the best way to kind of get rid of CRT and all these things, or just racism in general, is to just stop talking about racism. It's to stop teaching it to kids, stop teaching it to employees. But of course, how will the left-wing people virtue signal? How will they say that, well, I'm anti this or that if we're not talking about it? That's the problem. They need there to be racist people. That's the thing about the left-wing ideology, is that it is literally hinging upon the idea that there are racist people. They have to be able to point to something and say that something is racist, even if it's not. It is based on this idea that it has to exist, because if it didn't exist, their whole ability to teach this stuff would go away. For some reason, they think that pushing more racism into the equation is somehow fixing it. Once again, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting a different result. Anytime that you're putting more of this information, more of this indoctrination into the heads of kids that don't even have the ability to really understand what's going on at that age yet, you're only making the situation worse. It's not going to get better. And that's why you have the insanity that's going on right now. But the thing, too, is that this speaks to a lot of the corporations. It isn't just Hasbro, because that's just one of the major toy manufacturers. But let's look at Disney. Let's look at Coke. There were just two of many of other examples of companies that have come out or have been exposed in some way of teaching CRT or showing this to their employees, talking about this with kids and other things. Think about the colleges. Think about the public schools. All of these systems are in place to basically push this narrative, to push this indoctrination. They're all moving in lockstep with each other. It's not like some of these companies are opposing these things. A lot of them are just jumping on the bandwagon. What you're seeing is almost this corporatism where everybody is pushing into the corporations. All the corporations are moving right along with the Democrat Party, with the Democrat narrative. That's the way that this has been operating for a while now. So I'm not surprised to see this, but it is very interesting that you're seeing the talk about these kids in this way as if they really understand kids at all at that age. But the thing is that Democrats have the audacity, with all of that being said, to say, well, America is systemically racist. Well, what are the systems that we're talking about? And they may list some systems that are out there, they want to call it a system, but they own all those systems. They own all the institutions, from the toy manufacturers, from the schools to the public schools to the colleges, everywhere. All of these companies, the Democrats are the ones that are running the narrative right now. So if there's any systemic racism that they'd like to point to, they can only point the fingers back at themselves because they would be the ones solely responsible for it. Is that not the case? It's almost a circular reasoning, the circular logic that they try to impose on everybody to say, okay, well, if we start off in this situation where we assume there's racism there, even though there may not be, then we'll need to fix that situation by teaching training that is also racist to then bring us right back to where the system's racist as well. But we won't blame ourselves for causing that problem. We'll just pretend like it's these evil other people that are out there, these evil white people that are out there for some reason, even though we're the ones that own every single one of these institutions. Point to me, show me where the white supremacist professors are and the ones that are teaching these white supremacy things at Disney and Coke and everything else. All I'm seeing right now is CRT. All I'm seeing is the racism perpetrated by that. That's it. I'm not seeing it anywhere else. But the thing is that CRT is a product for those who hate already. That's the way that the Democrats are. A lot of them already have this hate built up, whether it's towards white people or any other race or whatever. And they can't stand the fact that most people just don't grow up that way. They can't stand the fact that kids would have the audacity to grow up and not be the way that they are. So as a result, they cause them and want them to hate. They want them to divide them. They want to split them up and segregate them and say that you should hate that person and you should hate that person because they're oppressing you and they're the oppressors. That's the way that they're trying to do it. If you let bygones be bygones, nothing's going to take place. Nobody's going to wind up being racist automatically. Once again, you just have to stop talking about it. But they can't do that. They can't possibly do that because it gives them no room to virtue signal whatsoever. So speaking of just teachers and schools and CRT, here's a teacher right now that's on this YouTube channel. I guess they're trying to have some advocacy for pushing different new ideologies for racist stuff and CRT and whatnot. But she's basically reading this what is supposed to be a kid's book. And it you can tell just on the face of it, all of the problems that are in it.
So then, what is white privilege? White privilege is when people who are white have additional benefits, advantages, and fewer barriers to overcome than people of color. People of color are folks with black or brown skin or of a specific race or ethnicity. That doesn't mean that if you're white, you aren't talented or smart or your life is easy. It means that you have extra privileges just because of the color of your skin. Really? Yes, really. So what are some of those advantages? Sometimes they're small, and sometimes they're really big. Like the privilege of always seeing people who look like you in books and movies. That might seem like no big deal, but imagine if no one looked like you in your favorite movie. Wouldn't that make you feel left out or sad? Or it can be in the people who are usually in charge, like teachers, your parents' boss, and presidents. Those people are usually white. This is probably something you've never really thought about. That's okay. But don't you often wonder why those people are often white and not another color? White privilege could also be in things you don't have to worry about, that people of color do. Like feeling unsafe when you walk past a police officer, having people assume you're bad at something because of your skin color, easily finding a Band-Aid that matches your skin tone, or people always asking you where you're really from. These are just some of the ways that white privilege can show up without anybody noticing. In fact, part of having white privilege can mean that you don't even know you have it. The thing about white privilege is that you don't have to think about being white. This was also true of me. As a kid, I never thought about being white. I never thought that I had extra privileges. But because of my white privilege, strangers smiled at me when I walked down the street. I would get invited to more places and parties. I felt safe when out and about. I had more opportunities. People didn't look down on me. And I had a better shot at success. I had all these advantages even though I grew up without a dad, no money, and never really knew what tomorrow would look like.
So there's so many problems in this kid's book. First of all, none of these questions or the things that they bring up in this book should be things that kids should be thinking about. It really isn't. Like, let kids be kids. Like, can't we just have that be the case? But of course not. But in the book, she reads, "Don't you wonder why these people are often white and not another color?" In reference to just movies or things like that. And it's like, well, the majority of the people in the United States are white. You don't have to like that fact, but it is a fact. You know, and then they go on to say, well, you know, what would you feel like? How would you feel if you were watching your favorite movie and they're not the same color as you? I mean, am I the only one that's like wondering, like, hey, is the movie good? Is the book good? Is the product a good product? I think most of us, I think I speak for most normal people, that we really don't care what the race of the person is. What we want and what we're looking for is a good movie, a good product. We've all seen movies that maybe tick the boxes where they say, well, we have the token black person and we have this percentage of this and we have the exact split between men and women. We have gay, we have lesbian, all in this movie. But the story's horrible. It's a bad movie. You ticked all the boxes, but no one's enjoying it at that point because you forced it in there where it didn't really belong. Once again, this shouldn't be kids' concern. Let kids be kids. You know, let them enjoy a movie. I don't understand why they can't enjoy something or why they have to be looking to see what race that person is before they can possibly enjoy it at all. That just seems ridiculous to me because you're basically disrespecting the art. It doesn't matter what you identify with who in a certain movie and whatever. It matters whether the product is actually a good product or not. They go on in the book and she says, if you feel unsafe when walking past police officers. I don't understand what she's referring to. First of all, why are you teaching this to kids? There's been several viral videos I've seen over the past year where you had young black kids running up to police officers and hugging them, and the police officers were so kind, or they're in the community helping them. How do you explain to that child that doesn't even think that way? I mean, I guess in the real sense of it, that's what the Democrats have a problem with. They don't want kids to just see and look up to police officers. I mean, when we were younger, it was like, oh, we wanted to be a firefighter or a police officer, you know, a doctor, all of these things like that. They're trying to demonize all of these people at this point. They don't want kids to grow up and just have a general sense of the fact that a police officer was somebody to be looked up to. They're upset about it, so they have to tell the kids, hey, no, you shouldn't be. You shouldn't like that. You should feel unsafe for some reason. That's where we're at right now. So they go on to say, what are you going to do if you can't find this Band-Aid that matches your skin tone? Like, really? Is that where we're at right now? Nobody cares. Like, does it work properly? Does the product do what the product is supposed to do? I mean, guys, Band-Aids aren't makeup. We're not looking for 50 different shades so that you can match your exact skin tone like it's some accessory item or something that you're trying to put on so nobody really sees that it's there. Nobody cares. It's a Band-Aid. Like, it has a job and a function. Let that be the function of what it does. I really don't understand why everything has to be this way. I mean, they literally are trying to find anything they can to point to and say that this is racist. This must be deemed this way because we have determined that to be the case. You know, they go on and she says, well, do people normally ask you where you're from, where you're really from, is what she says. Now, I've heard about this one, I think, a couple of years ago, where people were literally saying that they were getting offended because somebody asked them, hey, where are you from, or something. They were like, America, and they clearly had this very thick accent, something like that. A lot of people on LinkedIn were doing this, too. They were kind of virtue signaling this way, talking about this conversation of, you know, should you ask somebody where they're really from if you can tell that they're clearly not from the United States? And it's like, yeah, what's the problem with that? The left-wing ideology is telling you on one hand, you must be upset at that. You must get triggered. You must say, how dare you ask me that or ask where I'm really from when I clearly do not have an American accent, when I clearly look like I'm from somewhere else. How dare you ask me that? Now, the thing is that what it's doing is automatically assuming the malice on the end of the person that's asking that question. But that's not always true. I don't even think it really ever is true. Because typically, if somebody's saying, hey, where are you really from? You know, and they may say, well, I'm from Cuba. And they say, hey, I have family over there. That's awesome. You know, I just traveled there last week or whatever. You don't know. You're basically chopping off connections with people all in the name of trying not to be offended by assuming that somebody means it in a harmful or in a negative light. And that's not true. It's not the real world. But that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to make this the real world. And they're starting, by the way, By teaching this to kids? Keep in mind, this isn't an adult CRT book or something. This is supposed to be read to kids and children. That's what's really scary about this. Some people legitimately get upset over that, and that really always surprises me. But the thing is that, are they really ashamed of where they came from? I mean, what is the reasoning behind it? Is there some other deeply rooted thing that's going on in there? And for those that are listening to the audio version of this, what you see in the background there is actually a bunch of flags. You'll notice the BLM flag. You'll notice the rainbow flag. Really just showcasing that this isn't just about race either. It's so much further than that. It's supporting the BLM organization, which has ripped off $90 million worth of money from black neighborhoods. Pretty much anyone that's black, I don't know any of that money that's gone to anybody that's been of any use at all. But you also see that they're sticking this in right in there in the same circle with the pride thing. It never was just about racial equity and stuff, because you have to go along with the pride stuff too. It's not just one thing. And this lady's also wearing a hoodie that says, "Dear black women, thank you for saving America." I have no idea what that's even supposed to mean. What did they save? I'm really curious about that. I have no idea what this means. I've never seen this statement before. If somebody has seen this, let me know. But I have no idea what that's supposed to be about. The fact is, and the one thing that they're going to deny in this book, the one thing that they're not going to tell kids in any of these books, okay? The one thing that you're seeing being stripped from education across the board, all the way from pre-K to well into college years, is that hard work and determination can help you be successful. That's the one thing that they're not teaching in all of this material. That's the one thing that you're going to see repeatedly stripped away from everything. Because when you have CRT in place everywhere, it's not your fault. It's not your fault that you're doing bad. It's not your fault that you're failing these grades in these classes. It's something else. It's the system keeping you down, you see. It's clearly not your problem. It's the school's problem. And it's up to government to give you a helping hand to fix that. We look at affirmative action. That's basically what this is coming out of. This really validates affirmative action. It's a kind of a precursor of teaching them straight into affirmative action to say, well, that's the validation behind it, guys. That's why affirmative action exists, because clearly black people, Hispanic people, or other minorities wouldn't be able to get ahead if it wasn't for that, except for the Asians that are doing better than any other racial category and at Harvard and at Yale, to the point, by the way, that they actually had to make their test scores, or at least the benchmark for them to get into the school, way higher because they didn't want so many Asians on the campus there. Could it be that maybe their families value education a lot more than just everyone else? Like, can we just be honest about the facts here instead of trying to pin this down to being some systemic problem? If you want change, it happens in the culture, it happens in the family, it happens in teaching the facts behind the situation. But the people that are learning this, that believe this, are doomed to fail. They'll never get out of these systems or whatever they want to call them, because they'll already be stuck. They're permanently stuck in this mindset that it's someone else's fault. And the left-wing people have continuously pushed this over and over again. Two colleges, by the way, have offered or are now offering an abolish the police course. Now, this shouldn't come as any surprise, but it's, once again, another situation where instead of colleges maybe talking about abolishing the police and in other classes and other liberal arts classes, now they're just straight up just naming it that. I mean, the whole class, a whole course that they're literally giving credits for, that students are literally paying for, is literally just for abolishing the police, which is crazy to me. I don't even know how much material you could possibly have in that course. But so it goes on in this article here talking about this situation. Starting this fall, two colleges in the U.S. will be offering courses that are centered around teaching students Marxist, black political, and feminist theories that will assist them in activism to abolish the police. Notice how it's literally just saying it right there on his face. This is a class to train activists. Not to educate you, not to make you smarter, but to literally turn you into somebody that's out on the streets causing a problem and causing a scene. So the classes, Abolish the Police and Abolishing Prisons and the Police, will be taught at Davidson College in North Carolina and Bard College in New York, respectively. Now, like I said, abolishing the police and prisons, by the way. Because they'll look at the system and they're looking at the stats and they're saying, well, there's so many black people that are in prison right now. There must be a problem with the system. This is one of the things that I never will ever understand about the left-wing mindset about this. How is it that you can look at something and say, okay, well, there's a disproportionate amount of people. Okay, black men make up 6% of the population, yet 50% of the people that are in prison are black men. How does that work? Okay, and they're looking at that and they're saying, you know what? It must be a problem with the system. It couldn't possibly be the fact that all of them have been charged of a crime. It couldn't be the fact that all of them are criminals in some way. I mean, we have to look at the records of these people. Because when you actually do that, you will very quickly realize that it's not the system's fault that they're there, okay? It never has been. Because it wasn't that way before. That percentage has risen up over the years. There was a point in time when you didn't have that problem. And what we've seen rise with that as well is the single parent households amongst the black community that are now, I think, upwards of around 70%, by the way, that used to be around 25%. We're seeing, when we see correlating numbers there that are going together, and we can actually maybe draw a bit of some knowledge off of that, these actual statistics, and say, okay, well, there may be a reason behind this. There may be a situation where, by the looks of the numbers, that there being a correlation there, obviously, that the higher the percentage is for these single-parent households, that the higher the crime rate is, that maybe we need to figure out what's going on with the family. What's happening with the family now? Oh, wait, we're offering welfare to these people. Oh, wait, there a lot of them, you know, that we've based off of the government, a lot of these women don't feel like they need a man in the household because the government can support them through welfare and all these other welfare programs. And we're just going to blame the system for that. We're going to blame the prison system. We're going to blame the police. Once again, none of these people are able to bring up anybody that's actually innocent that's in jail right now because of the sole purpose of being black. They won't do that. They're defending criminals and then trying to pin it and say that it's something racist with the system. Never made any sense out of that whatsoever. So the other thing too is that they go on with this where it's in this black or critical black studies class at Davidson, and it's teaching students that non-whites and LGBT people are disproportionately targeted, causing them to be routinely surveilled, arrested, incarcerated, and sexually assaulted by police officers. They intend to use radical social and political philosophies to decry policing in all forms, including what they define as police militarization. Once I'm asking these people, please show me the evidence that any of that is actually true, that these people are being marginalized more than other people. Please show me where this is at, because I don't know what they're citing here. But they're not citing anything at all. They're just making statements and just assuming that that's going to be the case. But once again, they love to talk about it, but they don't want to talk about the numbers. They want to bring up the talking points, but they don't want to actually show anything about what's actually going on here. The fact is, with this realization here, is that U.S. colleges, as we already know, are no longer the institutions of higher learning that they used to be. They're now basically indoctrination camps for many of them. There's very few left, and I'm sure maybe some of the more religious schools that are, you know, maintaining a lot of their the generalized philosophies behind everything. But a lot of these other ones have just gone far left. I mean, they're just way out there now. And when we're talking about defunding the police, we have to look at the Democrats that have pushed for this cause, like Cori Bush, for example. So she actually, apparently, according to this new report, Cori Bush spent nearly $70,000 on private security over the past 3 months, and she advocated for defunding the police at the same time. So Fox News reported on Friday that Bush's campaign sent $54,000 in payments between April 15th and June 28th for security services to RS&T Security Consulting, a New York-based firm. And then they also paid another $15,000 to Nathaniel Davis for security services over the same period. So defund the police, but she's got her own security detail that she's willing to pay $70,000 for. We've been saying this for the longest period of time. The people that are advocating for defund the police are the ones that will not be having to deal with the consequences because of that. They have their own private security detail that they pay a lot of money for. They have no problem preaching that to the high heavens because they won't suffer. They're in neighborhoods that are really nice. They have their own 24/7, like I said, security detail. They have the money for that. But the people that are going to suffer the most are going to be the black communities that they apparently care about so much. Also the same black communities that keep voting for these Democrats that don't care about them whatsoever. It's a ridiculous situation that you see happening right there. Back in April last year, she praised the city of St. Louis, Missouri, when the city moved to strip millions from St. Louis's police department budget. And she said on Twitter that defunding the police isn't radical, it's real. That's her words, not mine. And that's where you have the situation where this person, you're getting there, you're seeing their hypocrisy get exposed. Because, once again, they don't care about the police. They're not worried about the situation where people are going to break into their house because they have the money to defend themselves. But you don't. The normal person does not. The people that are trying to send their kids to a safe school or be in a safe neighborhood, they don't have that option whatsoever. So it's really kind of crazy when you see these people behaving this way. It is absolutely just a massive amount of hypocrisy. Many of you have heard about the Freedom Phone, maybe from several different influencers that are out there. But basically what you had is this phone that everybody started marketing all of a sudden out of nowhere, talking about it being a free speech phone, it being a phone that was tethered or not tethered to Google, a phone that you could basically have privacy on. That was kind of the general tenets that it was pushing its product on, that it was trying to sell you on, okay? So this is a $500 phone that they're trying to sell to people right now. They're saying it can work on any of the networks like Verizon and AT&T and everything else. So what's the problem with this device? So we actually have more information now about this Freedom Phone that will cause for, I think, a lot of concern amongst people. In other words, the short story of this is don't buy the phone. That's basically what's going on. But here's a little bit about what's going on. So when I first actually saw that this was coming out, they announced on their website that it's running the new Freedom OS. That's what it's saying right now. This is a statement from their site. It's running the new Freedom OS, which means Apple and Google no longer control the phone. That's what they're saying, okay? Here's the thing. I am hugely into technology. I've been dealing with cell phones for 15 years, and I can tell you firmly that you're not making a phone today based off of your own pure OS. Everything, by the way, that you probably use, if it's not Apple, it's running on Google to some degree, okay? Pretty much everything. Some of your TVs, maybe not, but the general gist of it is that if you have a phone right now, unless you are literally a software designer and you have spent a ridiculous amount of money trying to design an OS for the device, it's going to be based off of Google, especially when they're talking about that it's going to have these apps with it. Okay, it's going to have Parler, and it's going to have Getter, of course, and a few of these other social media free speech apps and whatnot that are supposed to be on there. As soon as you have apps available on your phone, it has to work with some type of operating system, which means it needs to be either Apple or Google. And obviously in this situation, it's Google. And that's what it is. It's actually a forked old version of Google that is open source, I believe, for this type of situation. Open source meaning anybody, by the way, has access to the code, okay? So if it's open source, it also is not going to be very secure either, okay? That's another problem that you're going to have with this, especially unless somebody is readily updating the security parameters for this OS. You're not going to get the security behind that whatsoever. You can't get away from Google. So them putting this statement out there saying that Google no longer controls your phone, I mean, maybe not controlling it, but it's entirely running on Google still. That's a fact. You can't change that because the apps are still using its exact APK or the program file for the applications as well. The thing, like I said, you're basing something on an old version of Google, passing it off and saying that it's Freedom OS, okay? Keep in mind, guys, that most of the phones you buy that are not Apple, I mean, pretty much all of them actually are running some version of Android Google to some degree. And they're just slapping on overlays on top of them and just calling them their OS. Samsung is using their OS. Google has its own OS. LG has their own OS. So the Freedom OS is nothing but an overlay on top of an old forked version of Google Android. So that creates some problems right there, because when you have this issue happening, they're telling you one thing, but it's really something else. So they're also saying that it has its own uncensored app store. But really what that probably is a separate app that's preloaded on the phone that allows you to load in applications for free, free speech apps and whatnot, like Parler, Getter, whatever. You can bring all those up on there and just install them on your phone, basically by sideloading them, which is what we call that. I mean, you can sideload apps right now. Actually, if you go and you look up Parler, you can sideload the Parler app on Android today, okay, without having to go through Google Store, and because it's not listed on Google Store, but yet I have the app because I can sideload apps. So them acting like this is some new uncensored store makes no sense. If they wanted to cut off support for that phone, they could easily do that if they wanted to do that. So the real kicker here is their privacy policy. This is, once again, not something I'm making up. It's literally on their site. You can go there right now. If you search Freedom Phone online, you can find this. So their privacy policy says, we use your personal data to provide and improve the service. By using the service, you agree to the collection and use of information in accordance with this privacy policy. So right there, right in front of their website, they're telling you right away, hey, look, we're using your data. It's not very private, is it? Not very private whatsoever. Not very secure either. So this is kind of a lie to a bit of a degree for them to try and do this and market this out there. By the way, the phone, I think they said it's like some cheap Chinese knockoff phone, basically. It's actually only $169 for this device, and they're selling it to you for $500 right now. And then you had all these influencers, of course, online shilling this product, talking about all the great things about this product. But the issue is, once again, like I said, it, you know, they worked at a brand deal, that's on them. But it's just kind of interesting when you have all these people kind of coming out, but they're not checking the product. They're not making sure the product is a good product or if it's a secure product. They're being told what to do, told how much to make, and then they're just throwing it out there in front of everybody and telling you that you must get this product this way. So I kind of just basically posted on Gab about this, basically saying just watch out for the influencers that are promoting Getter still or promoting this Freedom phone, because they haven't even bothered to look into the product. And if you're not going to look into the product, then why are you even trying to get people to buy it in the first place? At this point, it's kind of off the list. It's a phone that clearly does not bode well for the future of everything. So if you do hear anything about the phone, don't buy it. Stay away from it. I think there's better options that are out there by just using your own Android phone that you could do, by the way, to separate it from Google. But going with the Freedom phone is not a good idea. All right, so I don't typically use emojis all that much, but we're actually seeing this new, what they're calling emoji draft, where they, I guess they kind of put out a bid or kind of several different emojis that they're looking at adding to different phone platforms and basically seeing if they get approved. So this is by, this is the Emojipedia, I guess, is the one that's doing this right now. So they're putting out these new emojis, and you can see a picture of this if you're listening on audio. What you're seeing on there is a pregnant man. It's basically what it looks like. Now, I could assume it's a beer belly, but I doubt that's what it is, because and that's what they're saying in their statement, is that that's not what it is. So in their own blog, they said, because there is already a pregnant lady emoji, the additional emojis would include a pregnant man and pregnant person. Those that are taking away the gender of that, basically like this anonymous kind of, I don't know if they're a man or a woman kind of person thing. But it says the new emojis recognize that pregnancy is possible for some transgender men and non-binary people. Okay, here we go. So, like I said, this is, you could assume it's a beer belly one. Maybe some people will use it that way, but that's not what it is. They're clearly trying to push for this in the phones and everything else. And although this is a small thing, I mean, it's just an emoji, it's not like they're, you know, forcing you to type with it or something like that, it speaks to the larger issues going on in culture right now. It speaks to what is happening across the United States, where it's little by little by little by little, they add in new things, trying to affirm these transgender ideologies, and then over time, before you know it, everyone's doing it. It's a normal part of society. And it starts with things like this. It starts with small things that you don't think too much of that really starts to add to this. Now, keep in mind, just think about this. Who is this for? Who is this actually legitimately for? Who is asking for this? Because I could assume there's probably about 0.0001% of the population that would legitimately be asking for them to put an emoji on that and said, oh man, I just wish they had a pregnant man looking emoji on there because that fits me. There's hardly anybody in this society that does this, but yet they're changing everything to go with this. Don't make the left fool you. There are very, very, very few people out there, even as radical as they've been with this, that actually believe in this stuff, that actually are this way, that would actually use it for this purpose. Very few. But yet that's the way that they're pushing this. They're acting as if there's this vast majority of people that have been arguing for this for the longest period of time. That's not true. It just isn't. And the thing is that you have them using these different colors of people. They've been doing that for a while as well. I typically just use the yellow one because I don't feel like dealing with it. It's just weird for me trying to pick a shade and everything else like that. I'm like, I really don't care. I'm just trying to convey an emotion. It's an emoji. That's all it is. It's an inanimate type of object. It's not something that has any legitimate weight to it. I don't need it to identify with me for me to feel good about using it. It's the meaning behind it that matters, and that's all I use. But that's the way that they have tried to push this, you know. But the same people that want this are the same ones that are talking about digital blackface, that are saying, oh, you can't use this GIF that has a black person in it if you're not black, because that's actually racist and it's like a digital blackface. It's the same people that kind of support this stuff like that. Never made any sense to me whatsoever. So there's actually a bit of good news coming out of Los Angeles County right now. The Los Angeles sheriff said that he will not enforce a mask mandate again at this point. So that was something that they did last year when the virus was going around and everybody was kind of freaking out, and you know, they didn't really know what to do. So they immediately put in these mandates, had the police enforce those mandates, And now they're saying, you know what? We're not going to do it anymore. So this is a statement directly from them, from the Los Angeles County, announced that they will not be enforcing the county's renewed indoor mask mandate, saying that the mandate is not based on science. I love that they're saying this because it's so true. Now that we have the facts, now that we actually have the information, we can see what's going on here. That it's not doing, and it wasn't even that effective. The lockdowns have not been that effective. The masks have not been that effective. But the thing is that this is another scare being brought on by this new Delta variant that I mentioned before. I told you, it's not going to end because there's always going to be some other strain, some other variant that's inevitably going to be there. That's always been the way that it is. That's why we have the flu every single year for all of my life. And before that and after it as well, we will have a version of the flu to some degree. It's always been that way. It's always going to be that way. You're not going to be able to change that. But that doesn't mean that we need to pretend and act crazy every single time it happens for the rest of our lives. So the thing that I always find interesting is that the same people, by the way, that want to defund the police are the same people that want to use the police to enforce mask mandates. Like, guys, you can't have it both ways. It's weird. They want to say, defund the police, abolish the police, and basically entirely get rid of them, get rid of the prisons, get rid of everything, like I just talked about earlier on the show. But in the same breath, it's like, well, we need somebody to force these crazy rules, don't we? Who's it going to be? Because ultimately, it's got to be a guy with a gun at the end of the day. At some point, it has to be. And they're the same ones trying to get rid of those exact same people. But the thing is that at this point, it's not going to fly for most people to be locked down all over again. I don't think most people are going to accept that. I don't think most people are going to go along with it. I think by now, most people have learned. They've woken up to it. Like I said, we have more information, more facts about what's going on. And keep in mind, by the way, that Fauci wrote this about the, this was back in February 2020, about masks. So this is a quote from him saying, Sylvia, masks are really in effect, or are really infected people, are really for infected people to prevent them from spreading infection to people who are not infected, rather than protecting uninfected people from acquiring infection. The typical mask you buy in a drugstore is really not effective in keeping out the virus, which is small enough to pass through the material. It might, however, provide some slight benefit in keeping out gross droplets if someone coughs or sneezes on you. I do not recommend that you wear a mask, particularly since you are going to be at a very low-risk location. Your instincts are correct. Money is best spent on medical countermeasures such as diagnostics and vaccines. Safe travels. That was his email that he sent just last year as the pandemic was going on. So Fauci basically straight up admitted that masks don't work, or at least not effectively, not like he would expect them to be, especially the over-the-counter ones and things like that. But like I said, those are his words, not mine. So before YouTube tries to take me down, that's straight from Fauci's emails himself, not me. But the thing is that Fauci also says that unvaccinated children that are over the age of 2 years old should also be wearing a mask at all times. Here's a clip of that.
You know that children under the age of 12 who are not eligible for the vaccines generally do not get sick, don't get COVID, or don't get as ill with it. But what does this spread of the Delta variant mean for them, for the children under the age of 12? And what's the timeline for when they might become eligible?
Well, a couple of questions, and the answers are the children who are not able to get vaccinated because of their age should follow, their parents should follow with them, the guidelines of the CDC, that unvaccinated children of a certain age, greater than 2 years old, should be wearing masks. No doubt about that. That's the way to protect them from getting infected, because if they do, they can then spread the infection to someone else. So the CDC guidelines for unvaccinated people, including children, are not changed at all. We are currently doing, we being the federal government together in collaboration with the pharmaceutical companies, age de-escalation studies, namely looking at the safety and the immunogenicity of vaccines in children from 12 to 9 years old, then from 9 to 6, then from 6 to 2 years old, and then ultimately from 6 months to 2 years old. Those data will likely be available by the end of the year, and then it will be up to the FDA to decide when they will make a recommendation that, in fact, this could be done in the sense of vaccinating children of that age.
So in the very beginning of that clip where that lady was basically saying that children aren't really at a high risk for COVID-19, I got banned off of YouTube for a week for saying that. Like, just a couple of months ago. Okay? For literally saying that. Now it's okay. It's okay now that we have information. Or at least is deemed okay by the people that are in charge of all of this. But once again, I've said this on Gab as well. Today's misinformation is tomorrow's fact. All it takes is just a little bit of time. And then all of a sudden, the stuff that you were getting censored for, getting banned for, is all of a sudden, everyone, it's okay. Everyone's saying it now. But do you think they're going to take away that strike on my YouTube account because of that? Of course not. Of course not. Because the rules are ever changing. It's whatever they decide them to be. It's never going to be a set in stone thing because what they deem as being the case, what the CDC says, what Fauci says, is always going to be moving in a different direction. He's going to flip and flop and flip and flop over and over again. And whatever his thing is during the week or whatever the CDC says during a specific week or whatever is what they'll use to basically tell you that you're wrong about saying a specific thing on Facebook or YouTube or whatever. And that's why I hate all of this stuff overall. But once again, you just have a situation where people are... where he's being disingenuous. He's always been lying about this stuff. He knew about a lot of these medications last year, used it in emails. We have these emails. So we know when he's talking about this in that clip that he should be aware that people saw his emails and know that he's lying. It couldn't be more obvious than that. So this episode's TikTok liberal is a lady that apparently thinks that tanning salons give you melanin.
I've thought this for a while, but I've never said it on here. So here we go. I don't think that racists should be allowed to use tanning salons. If you don't like melanin, then you don't get any! No melanin for you!
Have you ever noticed how they have to yell at everybody about everything, no matter what it is? They always have to do that. They, of course, can't just be reasonable. They have to make this video making them look crazy. But the thing that we need to take into consideration, as I kind of alluded to, is that you don't get melanin from going to a tanning salon. That's actually just not the case. That doesn't make sense scientifically. That's not what actually happens at all. But the thing is, once again, is that these people are, it's really about the racism. That's what they're trying to pull this as. Oh, these racists, they shouldn't be allowed to do this. I mean, what does that even mean to her? Because apparently the definition in the textbook doesn't matter, which they'll probably change, by the way. But they don't even think about that. What does that even mean? Because to them, it's probably anybody that's to the right of them at all. Or anyone that's white or whatever. They'll just assume that that's what it is. I mean, but there is no test for racism necessarily. I mean, and even if there was, their metrics for how they would determine that to be the case would be very different than what the actual textbook definition would be looking at. But like I said, you have these people that are misrepresenting the facts as well. Once again, you don't get melanin from being at a tanning salon. It just darkens your skin. That's really all that really takes place. Now, the thing is that melanin obviously gives your skin color, but it's not something that's exacerbated based off of being in a tanning salon or something like that. But if you're in the tanning salon or just in the sun for a long period of time, I mean, it temporarily darkens your skin, whatever it is. The other thing, too, when they talk about this, oh, if you don't like melanin, blah, 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 it's like she doesn't realize that white people have melanin in their skin too. Everyone has melanin in their skin. It's just different degrees of that. But people don't understand that. The facts don't matter to them. It really doesn't. So it's just kind of comical seeing people like this behave erratically, yelling and doing what the left-wing people always do, try to scream a point across because they think that for some reason that's going to help. It doesn't. It never has, never will work whatsoever. But I thank you for watching or listening to The William Hall Show. Remember to check out 2ajerky.com as well for more, like I said, very, very good product in my opinion. But with that being said, I'm William Hall and this is The William Hall Show.